days at the stick. From who's got it better than us to brick by brick, it's always the 49ers way, from offseason to game day. Yeah, we talk back. It's the 49ers cutback.
It's 49ers cutback podcast time. Welcome to the show where we're going to be discussing how the 49ers got from 3-5, a four-game losing streak, all the way to the NFC Championship.
It's a thing that not many people understood. Not many people got it. A lot of people didn't see it coming. We thought this team could get to this point, if not to a Super Bowl. But it was going to take a lot of things, and they made it very tough on themselves. We got to the 3-5 point of the season, right, Ant? And we both were saying, you know, there's not a lot of time left for the team to course correct and fix these issues. Not a lot of time left for them to stop making these mistakes. There's not a lot of time left to fix your problems and get yourself to a point where it's an insurmountable sort of issue and situation. But when things looked dreariest, the Niners started to fix these things. They started to fix some of these issues and slowly started putting together some wins, and then got to a point where they were controlling their own destiny. And yeah, we want to talk about how that happened, because a lot of people were confused by it. A lot of people were focused on other things. There was other talking points that were more important to a lot of people, whether that was the quarterback position, your limited secondary, some of the injuries that you sustained to your linebacking core. You know, there were just other things that people were more focused on, and not the things that have now gotten the Niners to the point where they're playing like one of the best teams in the NFC and in the NFL.
Yeah, one of the big focal points for the 49ers has been execution. That is something that we were harping. We were watching the film, you know, week in and week out, and just seeing that the 49ers weren't able to execute consistently. They were leaving plays on the field. They were missing blocks at key times. Maybe they were having a false start or a penalty, a defensive pass interference, as it would be. And they were leaving opportunities for other teams to make plays. And the 49ers' execution has been the key, you know, catalyst in their resurgence. Because when they started playing as the capable team that they were, they started to go ahead and start winning these games. Early, the execution wasn't there. They're losing games by 3, 6, 7 points, whatever the number was. But it was a struggle for them. They couldn't win. They couldn't overcome any sort of situations. And the focal point for everyone else was always that, hey, it's the quarterback position. Or, oh, hey, it's the right tackle position. You know, or it's the secondary. It was that was always the focus. Now, along the way, there are some emergences, you know, and re-emergences of certain players that go ahead and help formulate this and get this to where it is. But it all comes back to execution, though, because the play calls were right. Kyle Shanahan was taking a lot of criticism for his play calls. DeMeco Ryans at one time taking criticism for his play calls. When in the real world, it had nothing to do with the play calling, but actually was everything to do with the execution of said play calling. This team had to figure it out on the field. Once they did, then they started getting it rolling, Alex. And I think that is one of the things that people need to keep a focus on, is that's why that right now that they're in the playoffs, they've been able to execute at the right times and execute these plays. And that's why not only are they not an inconsistent team, but they're a very good football team.
And look, some of the emergences, right? The Jimmy Garoppolo in the middle of the season returning to what I said was looking like 2017 form. You saw Aura Jimmy walking around locker room. Kittle, a day after I said, you know, this felt like Jimmy had that 2017 aura. Jimmy said, oh, he walked into the locker room today. There was an aura about him when he walked in for the game. It was like, yeah, George, do you listen to the 49ers cutback? Do you want to come on the show? That wasn't what happened, obviously, but there was an emergence of Jimmy Garoppolo, but that emergence coincides with this team executing better. The team getting the run fits correctly defensively. The front four becoming this monster of, not only are we going to stop the run game with 7, we're going to get after you with 4, which means we're able to keep all our guys out in the secondary. We're not putting a lot of pressure on Fred to have to come up and be the all-pro Fred that we saw, because we need Fred to be able to cover right now, because Azeez Al-Shaair has to be able to be the guy who comes up in the run fits right now and makes the big plays and makes the big tackles. We need Fred to be able to do it all. He needs to be able to go out and cover in space if it's an RPO situation. He needs to be able to come down the run box and fill a gap and eat up blocks so that other guys can be free to come up in space and make tackles, whether that was Jimmy Ward, Jaquiski Tartt, it didn't matter who it was. It was a team effort, a team sort of ideology, a team first mentality where guys were sacrificing opportunities. Something that we saw last year. The only difference was last year you were injured to HE double hockey sticks and back. You had no weapons. You had no pieces. All of your stars were on the shelf at some point in time. And in some games, you had guys who were on the shelf and guys that were out with COVID, which didn't make it any easier either. That hasn't been the case this year. Yes, you've had some injuries, but you haven't had so many that it's devastating and too much to come overcome and come back from. Instead, what happened is the Niners did a good job of creating depth, and it started in the offseason, bringing back players, drafting players, and players early in the season that people were like, this guy needs to be on the field. You know, we don't have the pieces. It can't be Josh Norman. The Josh Norman signing and him playing an early portion of the season turns out to be the best possible thing for Ambry Thomas, because look at him now. He wouldn't necessarily be the guy he is right now if you put him out there to take his licks early in the season and he blew a bunch of coverages, missed some assignments, and got to a point where he had absolutely no confidence this late in the season. You would probably, in fact, be turning to Josh Norman to try and save your playoff season rather than the situation we're in now, which is you have Dante Johnson, who is elevated and is basically a utility role, can play anywhere you need him to in the secondary, and Ambry Thomas, who is now playing at an all-time high in the confidence level in the confidence department.
Yeah, I think with Josh Norman, I mean, we wouldn't be in this position if he wouldn't help us get through the middle of that season. As frustrating as he is grabbing onto people and getting those penalties, and I was consistent in saying, just expect this from Josh Norman. That's what you're going to get from him.
Unless it was the Madden sim.
Yeah, that's what he does. That's who he is at this point in his career. But I think also circumstance helped the 49ers get here. Because if you don't have the injury to Javon Kinlaw, you don't have Eric Armstead moving to the inside. And that's really where the run game switched. Now, I think everyone fully expected Javon Kinlaw to be what Eric Armstead is right now.
Correct.
Is to go ahead and be a run stuffer and then be able to rush the passer when those opportunities are afforded to him. He is not that guy yet. Whether that is because of injury or because he's just not that guy, we don't know. I think the injuries are going to, you know, be a big part of it. And when he's healthy, we'll see who the actual Javon Kinlaw is. He's been battling through health, you know, for injuries for 2 years. With Eric Armstead, though, moving to the inside, it stabilized that run game. And it started allowing the 49ers to play with a seven-man front, playing with those four guys and getting after it. He was able to take advantage of the times he wasn't double-teamed, when they were going after Nick Bosa, chipping him, doing the extra things that they got to do. And that helped the secondary out as well. But I think sometimes circumstance in the season, the 49ers have figured out how to put people in the right positions that are going to help their team ultimately. You also have people that have developed through the year. You brought up Ambry Thomas, and he's somebody that developed through the season. But you have an Al-Shaair as well. He got thrust out there with the injury to Dre Greenlaw, and he gets all those valuable plays and snaps. And you've seen the development. Early on in the season, he's struggling in pass coverage. The 49ers thought he was one thing, and he really wasn't. When they figured out what he was, they were able to go ahead and use him in the right ways. Fred, All-Pro Fred had to play out of position. So you have Armstead playing out of position for his team. You had All-Pro Fred playing out of position for his team. He was covering the areas that Al-Shaair couldn't cover. A lot of that in coverage. Al-Shaair struggles in that department. He doesn't struggle in stopping the run.
Mm-mm.
But they had to find that out for themselves. And sometimes it's a little bit of trial and error. You might see it in practice, but it's different when you get them into game situations.
Correct.
So we saw early in the season, these teams were putting the 49ers in base 4-3 sets, taking advantage of Al-Shaair in coverage. Later on in the season, they were trying to, the 49ers were in nickel all the time, and K'Wan Williams was the one making the plays. But I think sometimes circumstance actually helps your team, you know, formulate their identity as you're moving forward. The Niners always knew what they wanted to be. They always knew they wanted to be a team that ran the football and played great defense, and everything was going to come off of that. They just had to get the right pieces in the right situations to be able to do that. And one thing we know is the secondary was something that was a conversation all before the draft, all during free agency. Everyone was
talking about it. Got to address it. Got to address it. Got to address it.
The 49ers went out and they drafted two cornerbacks. That wasn't enough for everyone. They brought back Emmanuel Mosley and Jason Verrett.
Wasn't enough
for everyone. When it comes down to it, though, what it really comes down to is that front seven being good enough makes it so that secondary is always going to be competitive, because that front seven gets after you in a big way. But I want to give credit to Emmanuel Mosley, especially Jimmy Ward, Jaquiski Tartt, who have stabilized that back end. Since those two have been playing in tandem, with both being healthy, this 49ers defense has taken on a new look on the back end. Those guys don't get beat consistently, and that is a big reason why the 49ers compete at the level that they do.
No, and listen, when they do get beat, we just saw it this last Saturday. Jimmy Ward blows an assignment. He comes up on a middle on a crosser, and you know, Aaron Jones takes a route and turns it upfield, and it's a busted play. But Jaquiski Tartt helps his brother out, runs down Aaron Jones, and then Jimmy Ward redeems himself in the special teams category. This is a team who, it's all about whatever it takes and doing what you need to do. And that mentality started to set in that midway point of the season where the pieces started to align, right? You have the circumstance with Javon Kinlaw going down and Armstead being able to go in the interior. That now affords Jaquiski Tartt and Jimmy Ward to be able to sit back in coverage at times. And then you know, whichever one you feel like bringing up into the box to stop the run on certain occasions, or to come up and press man coverage, or show press man coverage and get a quarterback thinking one thing when in fact he's got something else. The two of them in tandem have been absolutely phenomenal. And you're right, Emmanuel Mosley kind of gets lost in the mix of things. Talk about the biggest question mark coming into the year at the cornerback position. Is Emmanuel Mosley enough? That conversation was being had all the time, and we put out the video. E-Man is the man for the job, because we'd watched enough film. We'd seen him enough against elite wide receivers in the NFC West to know, hey, man, I saw him in the NFC Championship, not the NFC Championship game, but the divisional round against the Minnesota Vikings a few years back, where he locked down Stephon Diggs after Stephon Diggs torched Akilah Witherspoon. I remember that performance from Emmanuel Mosley. He's completely capable of being that guy and being the man for the job opposite of Jason Verrett. And when Verrett went down, Ant, the question was, can he deal with the number one every snap, each and every game with teams coming after him? Or if teams decide to go after Josh Norman, are you going to be able to do enough? Guess what? Emmanuel Mosley's been phenomenal on the other side of the ball. And now with the emergence of Ombre Thomas playing very high football as well, it affords you a lot of options going forward. But it also makes it so that, you know, you don't have the glaring weaknesses or issues in the secondary that everyone thought. It has been phenomenal to watch the defense's evolution and D'Amico Ryan's growth with it, because talk about another storyline before the year started. The Niners defense was going to fall off. It was going to drop off. It was going to take a huge step back because you have a rookie defensive coordinator who's doing the job for the first time and ignoring the fact that this was a man who played high-level football for the Texans at the middle linebacker spot for over a decade in the NFL, and was being praised by Sulla, Kyle Shanahan, a lot of people, for how intelligent he was. Fred talking about, you know, the changes that he's going to bring, the aggressiveness, the getting after people in a big way. And they did that early. They tried blitzing early because there were some struggles with pass rush and things of that nature early on in the season, and maybe even against the run in certain run fits. That changed when they got the right pieces in the right place. And guess what? D'Amico Ryans didn't stick to his guns and want to be a guy that can get after and, no, we need to put eight in the box. No, I need to be aggressive. He's now evolved, right? He's evolved past that. We're putting seven in the box and stopping.
Yeah.
We're blitzing at times, not always. And it seems every time he calls a blitz and dials it up, it's the perfect time.
He's a smart guy, and he's been able to, you know, put these defensive players in the right situations. I mean, I think we should have probably figured this out. We should have known this was coming because of the ways they've been able to develop the linebackers that he coached. Fred Warner, Azeez Al-Shaair, Dre Greenlaw, Demetrius Flanagan-Fowles, they're all reasons. Marcel Harris even, he developed all of them. And he's the one that saw something in them and brought them in, and he's been able to, you know, get them to where they need to be. And you're seeing that development at all the different positions. But yeah, he's pulling the right strings and putting the guys in the right situations where they can be successful. And now that you have the Dre Greenlaw come back, now this front seven is at an all-time high. They're really good. And that's the thing, is you saw the development on the front line as well from Chris Kocurek. It wasn't just enough that they went out and brought in players. Yeah, Samson Ebukam, they bring him in, and you know he's an athletic freak, and he's got a lot of ability. I mean, the talking points all through the offseason were how fast he was, right? He runs a 4.5. He played outside linebacker for the Rams in their 3-4 defense. So this is a guy that everyone saw D4 potential in. And what we saw out of him was Chris Kocurek take a guy who wasn't good in run fits and have him develop into being able to set the edge and play every single down at defensive end. Now, he was thrust into a new role with the injury, because once the injury to Javon Kinlaw happened, the injury to D Ford happens, then all of a sudden he's got to go out there and play base downs because Eric Armstead is not playing opposite of Nick Bosa. So it changes things up. But that development also kicks Arden Key inside.
Yep.
You kick Arden Key inside, and all of a sudden he's becoming a stud beast on the inside, and you're able to run different stunts. And those two guys are so pivotal to this 49ers success, because those two are the ones who are going to get manned up as they double-team Armstead, they double-team Bosa. Those two have to win when they're given the chance, and they do consistently. They have done a very good job, and that doesn't happen without Chris Kocurek and without Darryl Tapp developing these guys into the players that they are. And that's why this front seven has become dynamic. So this team has went from, you know, trying to figure out who they were, they knew who they wanted to be, to getting all the players finally in the right spots. You add in the coach's development of the other players, and there you go. All of a sudden, now you're one of the better teams in the league. In fact, you're one of the only four teams left in the league. And the reason is because you put it all together at the right time. It starts with John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan going out and getting the right pieces. But it also starts with Kyle Shanahan hiring the right coaching staff. That way you can develop these guys in the pieces that you need. Then the players have to go out there and execute when they're given the opportunity, and that's why they're here right now.
And in back-to-back years now, Ant, at the trade deadline, the Niners didn't sell. They didn't necessarily buy. But they went out and made two trades in two separate years, and both of those guys are paying dividends for the Niners now late in the season once Chris Kocurek has gotten his hands on him in Charles Omeniyi and Jordan Willis.
Yeah.
Jordan Willis puts together an incredible performance in the special teams category, playing with what we thought was a high ankle sprain that Kyle Shanahan has now clarified kind of is and is not a high ankle sprain. So
ankle something.
Ankle something. Medium, like you said in the live stream, a medium ankle sprain. Yeah. And a medium one. a first in the medical department, and scientists everywhere scratching their heads.
But changing the game in every way.
Literally in every way. And
luckily there was no fleck of bone.
Man, if there was a fleck of bone, God knows what that would have meant. Yeah. God knows what that would have meant. Love me some fleck of bone conversation, Ant. But Jordan Willis puts together, you know, an incredible performance. Has plays the role in the Jimmy Ward block field goal and blocks the punt that ends up being a touchdown that Hufanga picks up. Just an absolutely incredible development. A guy who understands what his role is on this team. He's a rotational piece on the D-line. He needs to be a special team stud. He's turning into one now. And then you have Charles Omeniyi, who, when the Niners made the trade, it was kind of a stun because you and I mean, we kind of stopped paying attention to trade news because I didn't expect there to be a trade. The Niners said,
yeah,
you heard it from players. You heard it from Lynch. We have the players in the building. It's about playing. It's about us executing and becoming the team that we need to become. We don't need to go out and make moves. We don't need to bring in pieces. We got the group. And then all of a sudden a trade happens. You give up a draft pick and you're bringing in a new piece. And boy, oh boy, what an addition it was, because Charles Omeniyi against the Dallas Cowboys, when Nick Bosa goes down, steps up in a big way with a couple of sacks and has been a guy who's consistently put pressure on the quarterback when he's in, had an immediate impact in his second game once he got to San Francisco, getting after it, coming downhill on a read option against the Texans as well. And they gave the ball, come downhill, and got a big third down stop. Charles Omeniyi has been a great rotational piece that they've added in. And, you know, the offseason, there was the two big signings. There was Mo Hurst, right? There was Arden Key. We had all of that stuff going on there. We knew about Kevin Givens and his development. You know about Kentavious Street, and can he be healthy finally and put it together on the field? And they both have. But now you bring in this extra guy, and now you're sitting there with this rotation that, you know, Mo Hurst isn't even a thought right now. It's not a guy who's probably going to crack into the lineup because of how well all the pieces and the depth that you have with the D-line is playing.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, anytime that you have people the caliber of Mo Hurst that can't get on the field, it means your team's pretty darn good. And, you know, this defense is really good. And I think on offense, there's similar storylines. Because all the stories from the beginning of, before the draft even, because there's the possible trades for Matthew Stafford, you know, the conversations about other quarterbacks coming in
Teddy Bridgewater,
Andy Dalton. There was anyone and everyone was a possibility.
Sam Darnold?
To take over for Jimmy Garoppolo. But Jimmy Garoppolo has been a consistent, you know, for the most part in this offense this season. And I think that it's kind of taken away from, you know, that conversation is kind of taken away from the other positions where you've seen some really cool things happen. We know that Trent Williams has had one of the greatest, you know, seasons for an offensive lineman in history. He's just breaking the PFF, you know, records for his grades. And he's been playing fantastic. You have Laken Tomlinson that's doing his thing. But we also have the emergence of some very young players that are stepping up in a big way. You have the Elijah Mitchell. You knew it was going to be Raheem Mostert, and Elijah Mitchell and Trey Sermon and those guys were going to be behind him. But Elijah Mitchell has to step in place of Raheem Mostert, and he establishes himself as one of those guys. Without him being a sixth-round pick and stepping up for this team, without them reaching out and making that pick when they did, you would be in a world of hurt, because the 49ers would not have a running back that could do the things that he can do, and they would definitely not be in this position. He should be praised for what he's done, and this front office be praised for finding him. They had a third or fourth round grade on him, and they get him in the sixth round.
Let's not forget either that on draft day, getting into that sixth round, because you had no seventh round picks if you were the 49ers, was one of the last picks that we made. There was a conversation with D'Amico Ryans about whether or not he wanted a linebacker, and he said, no, go get whatever it is that you need to go get. And you end up getting Elijah Mitchell. That ends up being absolutely huge for the 49ers.
Yeah, it does. I mean, they asked him, you know, basically, hey, we have a running back we really want to go get, but, you know, we told you we would get you a linebacker. And he said, no, we can sign a linebacker and undrafted. I'll develop him. And he's not wrong. He's been doing that consistently. That's a big move, because they end up getting Elijah Mitchell, who has definitely grown beyond what Trey Sermon is right now.
Oh, yeah.
And that's a storyline that we needed to have happen. So that is a big part of this. And then I think, Alex, as the struggles are going on in the year, Nothing is more polarizing at that point. I mean, this is the only thing that gets us off the conversation of quarterbacks is a conversation of Brandon Ayuk.
Yep.
Free Brandon Ayuk was a hashtag that was going around. Everyone was saying, you know, Brandon Ayuk is being underused. He's being underutilized. Kyle Shanahan.
It's on purpose.
Yeah, Kyle Shanahan is throwing some stuff out there. They're already saying, you know, that he's going to be like some of the other guys that have come into this organization and flamed out. And really what it came down to was Brandon Ayuk had to find himself. Brandon Ayuk had to figure out how to do it. There's some conversations he has with other players, conversation he has with coaching staff, and he figures out what he's supposed to do. And his emergence is what helps this 49ers team. His emergence happens in unison when this 49ers offense starts taking off in the positive direction. Better play from Jimmy Garoppolo. The emergence of some of the run game things going on, it all happens at once. And that's what helps sparks this playoff drive.
100% because Brandon Ayuk starts winning. He starts winning in man-to-man single coverage. He starts winning when teams are trying to bracket him. He's getting open because he's getting better as a route runner. Something that was the big praise coming out, and which is why I was so convinced he was going to have a monster breakout year, was I saw the route running in year one as a rookie. A lot of people did. Now, I wasn't going to be crazy and say 1,400 yards and like 11 tutties like some people were saying, but close to a 1,000-yard season in year two in an offense that has Deebo Samuel and George Kittle and Kyle Juszczyk and Raheem Mostert and I mean, Mohamed Sanu into the fold in the role as well. It's like, yeah, if Jalen Hurd stays healthy, then you get that as well. I mean, there's not, how many touches are there to go around? Beak should have a good year. I could see him breaking 1,000. And after the start of it, I was like, this guy's not going to get anywhere near 1,000 yards. And he does. He almost does it. He gets 800 on the year. Talk about a guy who completely turned the corner, flipped the script. It looked like the story was being written, a tale as old as time. A 49ers draft a wide receiver high. He never lives up to expectations. And, you know, parts from the organization and people go, oh, man, what if only he had become what we thought he could be. Instead, Brandon Ayuk turns over the leaf and says, no. That's the start of the comeback. And now we're going to figure out a way to be the guy that I need to be. And does it in a huge way. The way he basically cleaned up his route running. And not cleaned up in terms of, like, it wasn't sloppy. It just didn't look the same. Very easy to see when BA was going to break something in, when BA was going to try and take a fade over the top down the sideline, when he was going to break something outside, when he was going to run a stop route. They all looked different. You know, he'd run a slant route one way and then try and run a sluggo a different way. No, BA, it's got to look the same. He's got to believe it's a slant for the sluggo to work. And he cleaned all of it up in a huge way. He cleaned all of the route running up. And all of a sudden, all these routes in which he's creating 1 yard of separation in the first, what, 6-7 games of the season, start becoming 3.5, close to 4 yards of separation. And the minute that happens, of course Jimmy Garoppolo is going to start improving. Because you know what teams can't do anymore? You can't single up Brandon Ayuk in certain situations because he's going to win. Which means now you have teams that are legitimately doubling BA, legitimately doubling George Kittle, and then you have the emergence of Deebo going from just wide receiver ant to wide back.
Yeah, and before I get into that, I want to talk about a little bit of circumstance. Mohamed Sanu gets injured, and you wonder what is going to happen with this third receiver.
We got worried.
Yeah, I mean, there are some legitimate concerns there. Travis Benjamin is a guy that could take the top off, but he wasn't somebody that was going to be able to...
Is it Trent Sherfield because of the chemistry he showed with Jimmy early?
He wasn't going to be able to make those big catches. Yeah, it could have been Trent Sherfield, but it ends up being Jawan Jennings. And I think the attitude that Jawan Jennings has brought also in the blocking, him and Brandon Ayuk both, is a big reason why this 49ers, you know, take the charge that they take and get into the playoffs. I don't think they do it without Jawan. But it's circumstance that affords one of these young players the opportunity to get out there and prove that he can be one of those guys, and he's done it. And one of the things that we saw early on in the season when we were talking about the execution things, we were going over all 22 film and breaking it down, was that when it came down to it, the 49ers receivers were struggling to win one-on-one matchups. And Brandon Ayuk was one of those guys, but Jawan Jennings, Mohamed Sanu, and those guys were the other ones. And mainly Mohamed Sanu was struggling to win one-on-one. Well, now Jawan Jennings can win on one-on-one. They're putting him against the third corner for the other team, usually the nickel guy, and he's been able to win consistently. That is something that's huge. The run after the catch that he's provided as well has been huge. He's been converting on third downs, huge. Scoring touchdowns this year, huge. All those things are nice, and I think that it doesn't happen without circumstance. Sometimes you just have to be given an opportunity, but you have to earn your opportunity. You have to seize it when you are given it to him. And I think that's been a big storyline. The only thing that may be bigger storyline than that is Big Mike McGlinchey going down. And not Jalen Moore, not Colton McKivitz, but Tom Compton being the answer at right tackle. And the
still hard to fathom. Yeah, it's still hard to fathom.
The 49ers Twitterverse absolutely lit up when this happened. How in the world can you do this? Jalen Moore is for sure the answer. Jalen Moore is the guy. It has to be Jalen Moore. Kyle Shanahan is throwing this season away by putting Tom Compton in there. Chris Forster does not know what he's doing. He's a terrible offensive line coach. Not so fast, my friends. Tom Compton grades out to be one of the best right tackles since he took over. He's done a very good job. Did he have his struggles against Rashawn Gary and Green Bay Packers? Absolutely. But without him, this team would be in a world of hurt. So through circumstance, this team has found its way. They've been able to overcome a lot of things that have come their way. And you're right. Deebo Samuel is one of those big reasons why.
100%. Deebo is. I mean, the emergence of everything that he's been able to do, dominating early as a receiver, making teams, you know, fear having to play against Deebo and the route running over the middle of the field, or just the short screen and him taking it to the house like we saw against Chicago. Well, it should have been the house. I think they marked him just short.
Like at the 1, yeah.
The 1 yard line, yeah, freaking screws. But regardless of that, Deebo Samuel showing that he's a do-it-all wide receiver. He can beat you deep downfield with the fade. He can beat you with the middle crossers and the speedo concept that Johnny Dell always talks about that I absolutely, absolutely love. It's my favorite Kyle Shanahan concept, and I'm obviously a big fan of
just
it.
Just a vertical with an over route.
Works wonders. It really it's does
literally
work.
Literally a two-man route. It's your favorite. I like that.
It's because it's so simple, and there's always so open.
Yeah.
So open all the time, constantly. It's because of how, well, it's because of how dominant the run game is. You and I both know that.
Exactly. It's the play action off of that. That's why the speedo route works.
Correct.
The speedo concept does not work without a run game. It creates a void in the middle of the field, and then your safety's put in a vertical stretch where he has to, there you go, Johnny Dell. You have to decide if he wants to go, you know, deep with Brandon Ayuk or with Deebo Samuel, who's usually running the crosser.
Sure.
I think that, yeah, his concepts are created, you know, to be the strengths of Jimmy Garoppolo. So as much as the conversation has been about Jimmy Garoppolo this season and that he can't do the things that everyone wants him to do to win a championship, he does the things that Kyle Shanahan wants him to do. And Kyle Shanahan has built this offense, and John Lynch as well, around Jimmy Garoppolo, the things that he does well. They went out and got receivers that catch the ball really good on the run. Jimmy Garoppolo has a quick release, gets the ball to them so they can make those plays. They got him George Kittle, who's not only a great blocker, but someone who can also, you know, create when he catches the ball in his hands. Jimmy's job is to get these playmakers the ball so that way they can go make a play. Joe Montana was no different. Did Joe Montana have a fantastic deep ball? Absolutely. Did he have a complete grasp where he could go progression 1, 2, 3, 4? Absolutely. He was fantastic. But the whole goal of a quarterback is not to create a big play, but to get the playmaker the ball in his hand so he can create a big play. That's what they've tasked Jimmy Garoppolo to do. Jimmy Garoppolo understands this offense. He knows the ins and outs. He puts them in the right plays, whether that's run or pass. Those are the things in the areas where, you know, he is exceedingly confident and comfortable with, and Kyle Shanahan has leaned on him. And that's why they made the right decision. When they went up and traded to get Trey Lance, and they went up and got him, they made the right decision about bringing back Jimmy Garoppolo. They said, we've got a playoff-caliber team. We have a team that could get to the championship. We just need to have somebody that can pull the trigger. We don't think Trey is going to be ready this year. He's definitely a project we're going to work with. He's going to be our future. But Jimmy Garoppolo is our present. And now everyone was questioning it, but now they were spot on right because they're right in a position where they're one game away from making it to the Super Bowl.
Correct. And it ends up being the best decision because what do we know about Jimmy? He's going to go down at some point. Something's going to happen. And he did a couple of times. And guess what?
Yep.
When he did, the season was not lost because Trey was talented enough to help get this team in, keep those in the games, give them a chance to win. And in one case against the Texans, actually win the football game. So it was the right move on all fronts for the 49ers. You get a young kid whose sky is the limit, the ceiling, the potential is to the moon. It's you almost can't see where it ends because of all the things he does well and how incredible he is already throwing the deep ball. It's like this kid's wonderful. This kid's already a home run, right? Not necessarily because the team is built a certain way and be able to do specific things, and Trey struggles in those areas, which means he needs time. He needs that moment, right? He needs that development, that growth. He needs to see someone execute it, see how they do it, watch them be a professional, and then build off of that foundation that's laid for him. And Jimmy Garoppolo has done all of that for Trey Lance. Their relationship is really good as well. There's no tension. I see them hanging out. I see them talking. I see them spending time. I see Trey showing Jimmy nothing but support, seeing Jimmy take a bunch of crap as well from a lot of people. And because of all of the crap that Jimmy has taken, because of the way he has handled it, and the way he has dealt with adversity with his back against the wall, the team has rallied around Jimmy as well. They see their quarterback taking a lot of flack, sometimes fairly and sometimes unfairly. And they're going, that ain't fair. That's not necessarily on him. That's on them. Some of that's on us. Why aren't we getting some of that flack either? And so now they've rallied around Jimmy as well, and it's actually brought the team closer together. And now you got guys like Deebo Samuel, and who've gone from just being a wide receiver threat for the 49ers to being asked to do it all in the run game as well. And guess what? He's doing it, he's answering it, and he's loving every second of it.
Yeah, one of the biggest catalysts in a team having an opportunity to win a championship is the locker room chemistry and that locker room dynamic. And this is one of those groups that is so tight. You know, they're so close together. They all get along. And they have a positive outlook on everything. I mean, they could have easily fallen off when they, you know, lost four straight games. They could have looked at it and said, you know what, this just isn't our year. But that's not what these guys are about. These guys have grit. These guys are going to get out there and make things happen. And really what they've done is come grow even closer as the season has come. Because one thing you know is when you get in the depths like that and you have your back against the wall, when somebody stands up next to you and fights with you, it gives you encouragement. But not only that, it gives you strength to know that, hey, when it gets down and we're in the depths, I know I can count on my brother to come have my back. And that's what they're doing right now with Jimmy Garoppolo. He has become a catalyst. Because everyone's against him, they're coming up behind their friend's back and they're saying, no, we got you. We're going to make the plays you need us to make so we can win football games. And so what it's done is bring the whole locker room together. So through the chaos and through all the bad things that have been said, through the people trying to, you know, create drama and problems with this football team, this guy should go, that guy should go, this thing. All they've really done is bring this locker room closer together. And this locker room is going to go out there and they're going to try to get it done. It's not just 53 guys. Every single person from practice squad, everybody is a part of this now. And I think this is something that had to be done. You do not win championships without having a close-knit group in the locker room. 49ers have that. They have a whatever take it takes attitude. They have a really good coaching staff. They have some pretty darn good players that can go out there and execute because they've learned how to do that over the years. There's no situation now that is too big for the 49ers. Everything they've seen, everything they've gone through has brought them to this point. No set of adversity is going to bring these guys down at this point. So they're in every single minute, every single second of every single game. It's going to take a lot to beat them. Hopefully, no one has enough.
That's what I'm hoping as well. And we've seen a lot of teams come out and punch the Niners recently in the mouth, something that they have been doing, right? We keep hearing people talk about, oh, the Niners want to be bully ball. Well, I'm used to standing up to bullies, Micah Parsons. We can bully as well. And teams have come out in the last few weeks and done a pretty good job of, you know, establishing their own version of bully ball. The only difference has been they haven't been able to maintain. What you just said about adversity, Ant, is what I've been trying to get people, a lot of people, not cutback crew people, but a lot of people who've been talking 49ers, who don't watch us week in, week out, daily, and understand where we're coming from this team and what we've looked at, is the amount of adversity this team faced. Yeah, the losses early in the season were tough. They shouldn't have lost a lot of those football games. We can be 100% honest. They shouldn't have lost to the Seattle Seahawks twice. No reason for it. If you don't lose those two games twice, you're probably talking about the Niners winning the NFC Championship game. Shouldn't lose to the Arizona Cardinals the way you did. There's no reason for it. You were in both of those games. Nonsense. Shouldn't lose the Tennessee Titans. You're right. All of those things are right. But at this point, getting into the dance, once you're in the playoffs, doesn't matter anymore. Because you've learned from all of those things. You've dealt with that adversity. You've been that team that should have won football games, had opportunities to win football games, and came up and maybe a little bit short or didn't execute enough. And the Niners have shown, hey, yeah, we did that earlier, but we know how to fix that now. We know how to be a team that doesn't shoot ourselves in the foot. We know how to be a team that, hey, you know what? When Jimmy makes some turnovers, we know when to be aggressive and go after things. We can also create some turnovers and balance this thing back out. And the Niners have shown. A lot of people said, you can't overcome Jimmy Garoppolo turning the ball over multiple times. Well, guess what? Last few weeks, when Jimmy has turned the ball over multiple times, your defense has stepped up and gotten you the football back and said, hey, Jimmy, don't worry about it, my guy. Here you go. Go fix it now.
Yeah, and Jimmy Garoppolo, actually the team has responded in a big way because they're 9-2 when he throws an interception. So this team rallies around Jimmy Garoppolo. And the one thing we know is what Deebo said. Jimmy Garoppolo bounces back. Jimmy Garoppolo, the way he handles turnovers and he handles adversity, is the way this team now handles adversity and turnovers. No moment is too big, and that's the thing. You've got key leaders at critical parts of every single, you know, part of this team, whether that's on the defensive line with Armstead and Bosa, the linebacker group with Fred Warner, the secondary with Jimmy Ward and Jaquiski Tartt. You've got guys throughout the defense, and you got guys on the offense as well. You know, on the offensive line, you got Trent Williams and Alex Mack. You got the running back room. You got Elijah Mitchell, a young cat that's getting it done, and you got Jimmy Garoppolo and Deebo Samuel handling the wide receiver and quarterback position. You've got guys that have been willing to step up and take charge. Kyle Juszczyk, by the way, master
unsung.
We need
hero.
To talk about Kyle Juszczyk. That's why I left him out of being the leader of the running back. Don't want to talk about him. Not only is he a leader of the running back room, he's a do-it-all guy. He He's one of those guys that brings things together. He's one of those guys that steps up every single day and does whatever's asked of him. He is literally MacGyver's knife. He can do it all. The Swiss Army knife is Kyle Juszczyk. You ask him to do it, he's going to do it.
Remember? Do you remember when over the cap at a couple other places when the Niners re-signed Kyle Juszczyk, they gave that contract an F?
Yeah.
Niners paid too much money for a fullback in which fullbacks are not important in the NFL. Yeah, you're right. For 31 other teams, fullbacks aren't that important. But for one team in the NFL, vital. And it's San Francisco.
Well, the problem is they only view him as a fullback.
Accurate.
He does so much more. He lines up out wide. He carries the football. He blocks. He chips.
He holds on PATs.
He does everything you ask him to do. He's like Deebo Samuel. Don't put him into a box. Let this guy be free. He's a peacock. You got to let him fly. And I think that Kyle Juszczyk is, that's why they don't understand the contract, because they don't understand the concepts that Kyle Shanahan is going to use him with. When you don't fully understand the team and you only look at the letters that are in front of their name, whether that's Deebo Samuel with the wide receiver or, you know, with Kyle Juszczyk in fullback, you're not going to understand how dynamic they can be in this offense. And that's the thing. When you are a visionary like Kyle Shanahan, as far as offense and run game, people can't get their grasp on what the concepts are going to be and how you're going to attack things. That's why this year has been a far cry from 2019's run game. It's completely different. He took the tools and pieces that he had this year and put him in different situations to be successful. And you've seen him go from the toss crack, you know, to the toss counter play. And you've seen him run a lot of gap scheme again, which they did in 2019, but in a different way, using Kyle Juszczyk and George Kittle to kick guys out, to pull linemen the opposite way. It has been a cool plan to watch. It's been a cool evolution. And the only way it happens is by these guys believing in each other and coming to grips with what their responsibilities are. Kyle Shanahan not putting anyone in a box. And these guys stepping up and saying, you know what, Kyle, I don't care what you ask me to do. I'm going to do it. That's why Deebo Samuel names himself a wide back. Because he's willing to do whatever Kyle Shanahan wants him to do, because he knows Kyle Shanahan cares about him, is going to put him in the best situation to be successful. And that's ultimately what they've done for each other and done for this team. And that's why they're going to be in the NFC Championship game on Sunday.
100%, Ant. You couldn't have said it any better. No one could have painted this picture any better. And you know what? If you're new to the channel here, you would have been not confused by any of this. Now, if you were a Cutback Crew member, then you were here for all of it. You were here for the week one excitement and a little bit of worry, but you and I both going, hey, Niners were in complete control of that game. Yeah, things got out of hand, but they got out of hand because of mistakes, not because the Lions are a really great football team or the Niners are a bad football team. You fix those mistakes, that's not going to happen. You don't expect to see a whole lot of Deebo fumbles this year. Don't expect to see a lot of George Kittle missing onside kicks. It's not going to happen. Then you saw the week two win. And yeah, offense was not pretty, but gritty win against a very motivated Eagles team. And you heard us after the Packers game, where there was no panic. There was no, hey, whatever. Hey, y'all, we can agree we didn't play the best football game, right? Y'all realize we just lost to Aaron Rodgers and the Packers by 2 points on a last-second field goal? Like, this team is fine. That's been the message consistently from us. Hey, we watch the film, we take a look. This is what it is. The reality of the situation is this team has been in every single football game, has had every chance to win every single football game, and Ant was literally a play in every loss this season from making Gary's prediction come true of a 17-0 regular season. It was one play on special teams, one play on offense, or one play on defense in every single game that could have changed the tide and the momentum for the 49ers and ended up with a win rather than a loss. And all of those losses taught the 49ers, this players, the coaching staff, the lessons they needed on the road to where they are now, which is an NFC Championship game and one win away from a Super Bowl appearance, your second Super Bowl appearance in 3 years.
Yeah, I mean, right? We went from fire Kyle Shanahan to Shanahan being in two of the last three NFC Championship games. How did we get there? Well, I'll tell you how. It's real simple. Is that people weren't watching what was actually happening on the field with this the lack of execution. You want to put that on Kyle Shanahan. We were clear about this. If you want to put lack of execution on Kyle Shanahan, that is warranted. He's got to get his football team to play that way. But the criticisms of him were not playing Trey and not running the right offensive plays.
Not running Trey Sermon.
Yeah, those are false criticisms.
Not using Brandon Ayuk.
Which was a false criticism. Brandon Ayuk had to get open. There's been a lot of these false things and false narratives that have been out there. The good news is false narratives fall away. They don't matter. Because there are certain things in a team, you know, that are going to go a long way in helping you. And they say adversity, it doesn't create character, it reveals it. And I believe the character of this team has been revealed. And remember, it's not about your reputation. That's what people think you are. Your character is what you actually are. The 49ers have proven what their character is. They're a big-time running team who plays great defense. that is the kind of thing they needed to develop during the season. They did. And now they get all the rewards of going against the Rams in the NFC Championship game, who's a very difficult team to beat. But the 49ers have the tools. They've gone through the adversity to be able to go ahead and get this done. Whether they win or they lose on Sunday, they know that they've gotten to this point, and a lot of growth has come from a lot of these players. I do believe they're going to win, but I'm just saying they've definitely proven that this has been one wild ride. And the 49ers are a team that I can always count on to, you know, make it exciting. Thank you to Kyle Shanahan for this team for growing together and having a really, really great season.
100%. Kyle Shanahan, John Lynch, D'Amico Ryans, Hightower, too. Coach Hightower, of all people. Talk about a guy who's taken a lot of criticism all season
especially
long.
Especially recently, yeah.
Especially recently. Yeah. And Ant, it seems like every time the special teams needs to step up in a big way, they have. Now they just need to continue building on it. But look, you thank all of these coaches, Chris Kocurek, down the line, every assistant, everyone that's involved with this team, because you could have packed it in. You could have listened to the outside noise. You could have heard what everyone was saying about everybody, and you could have started doubting yourself, doubting your process, doubting the guys in the locker room, and start making rash, irrational decisions and letting the outside noise affect and basically toxicify that locker room. And instead, Ant, because the Niners don't have any leaks, that toxicity wasn't getting anywhere near the 49ers. It wasn't getting anywhere near their players. In fact, Ant, they all double radioactive hazmat suited up, walked out through the toxicity, came out clean the other side, and showed everybody, hey, it doesn't have to be this way. We are that team. And now, Ant, the faithful are going to take over SoFi yet again on Sunday, and I cannot wait for it.
I can't wait either. Red wave is coming. 49ers, I think they're calling it a red out. I want to see this.
I want it.
We get contacted all the time now, and our Twitter feeds are going crazy with all the 49er fans that are going to this game. Yeah, if you have the opportunity, keep buying tickets, keep getting everything set up. Wear your red shirts, your jerseys, everything red, your red hats. Get out there and light this thing up. Make yourself loud, because the one thing we know is 30% of a 49ers crowd is louder than 70% of a Rams crowd.
Accurate.
And they're gonna you know, light this thing up. I'm excited for this game. This is gonna be a big one. You have to go beat the rival to get to the Super Bowl. Why not? Isn't that what you want? This one opportunity to go get it done. It's gonna be fun.
It's gonna be great, Cutback Crew. Let us know what you thought about this journey for the 49ers and how they got there. Did we miss anything? Anything we left out that we shouldn't have? We want to hear from you in the comment section down below, because guess what? We're human beings, just like Jimmy Garoppolo, Kyle Shanahan, all these people. So there is probably something that we missed.
Guaranteed.
Let us know what it is down below in the comment section right now. And while you're commenting away, don't forget to like. Don't forget to subscribe if you haven't already. Hit that notification bell as well, because you want to be notified when we go live tonight, 5:30 p.m. Pacific time, to break down all the news of the day.
Yeah, exactly. It's going to be a fun night. We're going to get into it. If you have, you know, questions that you want to talk about, or even topics you want to talk about, you know, go ahead and bring them to the chat tonight. It's going to be fun. You know, go populate the chat with the questions. We'll get into it. We'll have a fun conversation. And it's been getting really good. There's been a lot of great people that have come in there, a lot of football intelligence, a fun time. So if you haven't seen one of the chats yet, jump in there, get excited. Live stream, news live stream is going to go crazy tonight.
Going to go crazy indeed. And if you want to see any specific topics throughout the week, drop them in the comment section down below, because if they're good enough, if they're juicy, they're spicy, and we like them, they're going to be featured, and we will do a video on it. So leave that down below as well. And yeah, Ant, looking forward to the live stream. Looking forward to all of the information coming out this week. Looking forward to this game on Sunday. But hey, man, this is an exciting time to be a 49ers fan. It's an exciting moment for the Cutback Crew and the faithful. And look, I cannot say enough about this team, the players, the coaches, the community here on YouTube with the Cutback Crew and the faithful themselves, because you know what, as hard as a lot of people were on the 49ers, Ant, as soon as we got to the playoffs, a lot of things changed, a lot of things shifted, and this team went from criticizing and critiquing everything and every move the Niners were making to, it's time to support this team and let's see what we can do. And now we have this moment here in front of us.
Yeah, it was nice. There's been a lot of faithful that never wavered. It didn't matter what the 49ers were going against. They never wavered in their support, and then there's some that were, you know, critical that realized that, hey, you know, we're on board with this playoff run, and they've come back. It's good to see the 49ers faithful united behind one team with one goal, and they're going to go out there and they're going to make their voices heard against the Rams, and hopefully we're going to walk away with a big win and a trip to the Super Bowl. Two times in 3 years to go to the Super Bowl, that's some 80s type stuff from the 49ers. That's what we need. They only did that, you know, one time before. They only did that in the 88-89 season, where they went to two, you know, back-to-back. So this is pretty much unheard of for the 49ers to be able to go to back-to-back Super Bowls. NFC Championship games are something the 49ers are used to being in. Let's hope it's one of the good ones. Let's go out there and let's win it. If Kyle Shanahan takes it to 2 Super Bowls in 3 years, then if you were one of those people that said for him to be fired, I want you to look in the mirror and think about what you just said.
I'll think about what you just said and then take back your one good year because it was 2 good years.
I'll give you another thing you can do. Just don't listen to Cohen anymore.
Or Newman.
I don't know. Newman's on board. Hey, he's supporting the 49ers.
He has turned the corner.
Yeah.
I'll give He is literally a new man at this point, and I'm all for it.
Yeah.
Cutback crew, look. It's all about big dubs this weekend. That's what we want on Sunday, but we'll catch you in the live stream. And until then, stay safe.
Remember, the right way
is always the 49ers way.